Well, almost Merry Christmas. This is going to be our, of course, pre-Christmas Eve show for you. And we will have a couple hours now of open lines, miracle open lines, Christmas stories, and also general phone calls for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. And I hope you have an enjoyable Christmas weekend with your friends and family. If you happen to be alone and that happens, well, just keep your radio tuned to, of course, Coast to Coast AM and your favorite radio station, because we'll have live programming for you on Christmas Eve and on Christmas night as well. A long time ago, I heard a song by Harry Belafonte that has been a tradition for me whenever I do a Christmas program. You really need to listen to the words, because it is in these words you will understand, I think, the true meaning of Christmas and the true meaning, of course, of just what is out there in this universe. Let's listen in, and we'll go right to open lines right after that.
I peeked in to say good night, then I heard my child in some scarlet ribbons, scarlet ribbons for my hair. All the stores were closed and shuttered, all the streets were dark and one ribbon for her hair. Through the night, my heart was aching. Just before the dawn is breaking, I peeked in, and on her bed in gay profusion lying there, lovely scarlet ribbons, scarlet ribbons for her hair. If I live to be a hundred, I will never
I'm going to write into my will one day for whoever takes my place when I've passed on to the great hereafter that they have to play this song during any Christmas special that we have on Coast to Coast. I mean, just incredible, incredible words. And let's go to the phones. We'll go to Baltimore, Maryland to get us started. Anthony, Merry Christmas. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you, George?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I just had a story. It was last Christmas. And I just went to sleep. And my grandmother, she passed away about 3 years ago. And okay. Basically, I was having a dream, and usually I never even remember my dreams or anything.
This one stuck with you, didn't it?
Oh, yes. And it actually even upsets me thinking about it. So, basically, I saw my grandma, and we were really close, you know, when she was alive. And I saw her for a brief second, and basically, I had like a rush. It was like a head rush of information, or you could say an outlook on years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got the extinct feeling that last year or next year might be our last year. Like she was almost welcoming me.
Yeah.
And a second later, I woke up and I was just all sweaty and hot and cold. And I still remember it till this day. But normally I never remember my dreams or anything like that.
Well, you know, in the dream state, Anthony, they come. The people that you have loved and have passed on, they come in your dream state. My dad hasn't visited me in my dreams yet. Not yet. Maybe it's too early. But it does happen. Let's go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Kevin, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for calling.
Merry Christmas to you. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you.
Excuse me. First time, I just want to let you know my heart goes out to you. And the night that you let the world know, I definitely shed a tear for you. I was in Afghanistan, stationed southeastern area. That's about all I can say.
Okay.
And I get an email from my wife telling me about my child had made a stocking for me. And he had made it out of fatigues, a camo stocking. And,
oh, cool.
And we weren't getting any mail at the time for several weeks until we were moving on to a different base camp.
Okay.
And I dozed off, and when I woke abruptly, you know, you generally did out of fear, and there on the end of my bed was the fatigue stocking. And,
it's like Scarlet Ribbons, like that song.
I don't. None of my men said that any mail came in. Nobody else had anything, and it was my family. You know, pictures, as well as a card that my father had given to me before he passed.
I'm glad you're back. Thanks for serving too, Kevin.
I just wanted to share that with you.
All right, thanks.
And God bless you and your family.
You too. Great story. Next up, we go to Mike, Roswell, New Mexico, one of our favorite spots. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hey, George. Merry Christmas.
You too.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have a white Christmas down here. It's a lot of snow on the ground.
Lots of snow.
Years ago, I moved down from Wyoming, and this is the most snow I've seen down here since then.
Well, when it melts, at least you'll have some water this year, huh?
That's good, because we needed that.
Yep.
But anyway, last night you had that Officer Culligan on talking about the UFO we saw out here.
Right.
And I was just wondering, what do you think about this? I think it sounds to me like that ship had a malfunction or something, because it's never happened like out here before, and that was 5 years ago. I mean, it sounded like maybe they had to take it over manually to stop from having another UFO crash. But
yeah, that's possible.
It came out of cloak. He saw it. It rotated so it could point itself toward Roswell, which is 20 miles away. I mean, why would it miss its destination by 20 miles unless something went wrong?
Something was wrong. And, you know, and I used to ask myself, Mike, I'd say, if they had the technology to get here, how could they just, like, crash or things would happen? And, you know, if they're machines, they're subject to failure. And those things, I'm sure, could happen.
Right. And plus, if everything was working right, I would think, like you just said, the technology, why would it have to rotate itself to get orientated towards so it could go on? So I think something probably happened and they had to take over.
I was out in Roswell a few years ago for one of the anniversaries there. That's a neat town. I like it. I like the people there. It's fun.
Oh yeah, it's a mess when that kicks off. You just kind of stay away from Midtown and bypass everything. But yeah. All right, thank you, George.
All right, Michael. Next up, we go to Danny in Sacramento, California. Hey, Danny. Good morning.
Hello, George. How are you?
Good.
Oh, that's good. I just wanted to tell you, I'm a longtime listener and caller, and I just want to let you know that, I did a long time ago. You told me this, that song, that Luther Vandross song about the father dancing with the mom. You know,
yeah,
that was a good song. It really touched me, and you know, and I'm really sorry to hear about your father. You know, I know sometimes I call and ask about him, and you know, and just I really felt bad when I heard about it, and I just. You know, and by the way, happy belated birthday. I told you you had a birthday.
That was last time. June, Danny.
Yeah, I know. Well, sometimes it takes time to get through these lines, you know.
Oh, that's true. That's right. So if you're going to wish me birthday for next year, you better start calling now, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, Merry Christmas. And, you know, before I ask my question, and then have a great new year. But I have a question for you, George. And I don't know if you've ever had his son on, but... Did you know that now yesterday we lost a very good singer, 1973, you know, it's 37 years since we lost Bobby Darin, you know.
That's right.
You know, and Dodd Darin, his son, you know, I don't know if you ever had him on the show, but I'll bet he's got children of his own too. But it's just amazing because he lost Bobby he was a young kid. You know?
Oh, he was young. Didn't he die of a heart problem or something like that?
Rheumatic fever, you know, because that was back before antibiotics, you know, and he wasn't expected to live past, I think it was 16 or something like that. And, you know, it just, he was a great talent, you know, and, you know, it's just sad that, you know, and Dodd is, you know, he had to do it kind of like on his own with his mother's help, Sandra D. And, you know, it just, I always thought you almost want to romanticize about this, you know, like, you know, how Frank Sinatra Jr. is carrying on his father's legacy.
That's right.
The same thing for his father, kind of, you know, saying, you know, but like Lisa Marie Presley, you know, tried to do, you know, but nothing beats the original, you know.
Yeah, we'll check into that. You know, one of my friends, Jesse Dillon, is the son of Bob Dillon. And I'm trying to get Bob on the program. He doesn't do interviews at all. But his wife, Jesse's mother, listens to Coast religiously, I'm told.
Wow.
And, you know, so I'm working on that. I'd love to get him in the studio when I get back to Los Angeles. I mean, he's living history, and I'd love to take advantage of that.
Oh, yes. Like they say, lightning in a bottle, you know, so to speak.
You know, and I did not appreciate him when he was starting, when he was singing, writing his poetry back there in our 60s, 70s. I didn't understand the guy, and I just, you know, it wasn't the kind of music I was into. Now, I think he's one of the greatest that ever lived.
Right. You know, because I know Dodd Darin, I mean, I know sometimes I'll see him on some of, like when they did the Beyond the Song, Bobby Darin, you know, but, you know, Dodd Darin, he just sounds like he'd be an interesting person to speak with about his father. You know, I don't know if Bobby Darin is buried, you know, if there's, you know, if he's got a place of people, fans, like, you know, Elvis has the Graceland. I don't know if he's got a...
Well, go on to Wiki. Just do Bob, you know, Bobby Darin Wiki, and they might want to tell you where he's buried.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that
should. And Well, I'll make a note, and we'll check out the sun.
Okay, thank you. And why not, before we go, I know there's a lot of people behind me waiting for me to get off the line, but I just want to tell you, happy birthday in the future.
All right, great. I don't count them anymore. Let's go to Edmonton in Canada, Alberta, Canada. Hey, George, how's my Canadian friend out there?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good.
Good, good. I got an interesting story for you, George.
Okay.
I was at the grocery store the other day, and... there was a bumper sticker on a guy's van, and it said, the World Trade Center was an inside job, something to that effect. And I walked over to the guy, and I said, really? And he went, yeah, I was listening to Coast, and so on and so on. So you've got a lot of fans up here, George.
We have many. Canada's been a great place for us. And you know what? We couldn't ask for better neighbors here in
Indeed.
The United States, let me tell
Indeed.
You.
Indeed, and the same
Thanks.
With you, and God bless. I'm running out of book ideas, George, so I'm hoping you'll help me out with this.
I'll try. What's up?
From Cremo to the unabridged version, by the way, and I love how he says in the beginning of his book, you know, well, this is going to be 900 pages, so are you ready for this?
And he was right.
Indeed. Indeed. So what would be Red Olive Sitchin's books?
What are you looking for? What type of topics are you looking for?
Well, I'm looking for something along the line of Wilcock.
David's stuff?
Yeah, David's stuff. After I've read all of David's stuff, what would you...
Have you read some of Hoagland's stuff, Dark Mission?
All of them, yeah.
Oh, you've done that too?
Yeah.
Gosh, you've probably gotten most of them.
And George, I've been listening to you for 4 years now, and thank you for changing my life, so...
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, but you've changed mine too, believe me. This show has done wonders for me personally. In terms of knowledge and, you know, I think I've got a PhD now just by the guests we've had on the show.
Oh, no kidding, no kidding.
But you know what? I can't, off the top of my head, recommend anybody that you haven't already listened to or read.
Now, I've read both of your books, George. I've read the first one. The second one, and thank you, by the way, Ma Danica in the Philippines is doing very well.
Good.
So Children's International is a wonderful organization.
Sure is.
And thank you, by the way, for my CC witness. Absolutely love it.
Well, you know what? We try to have the best sponsors. We've turned down a lot of sponsors, even in this economic climate. You know, our marketing people will say, hey, what do you think about this product or these people? And I'll turn them down. I'll say, nah, they're not for Coast to Coast. I'm not interested. I don't want that, because they go through a pretty rigorous screening with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I talk to them all. The ones that I talk about and endorse. And,
well, I don't work for any of these companies, but I have to tell you, my experience with Bob Crane's company has been extraordinary.
He's the best.
They're so nice. I mean, just really, really good people. Here's one question I have to ask.
Okay, real fast, then I got to go.
Okay, real fast. Dr. Judy Wood's books. I can't get in contact with her. If I could send you an email, you cannot get the book in Canada. It's impossible.
Why?
I've called every book company in Canada. It's just not available.
Okay, you'll have to get it on. Just Google her, or go to our website and get her website. You'd probably be able to order it directly from her.
I've tried to do that. You can't do it.
You can't do that either?
Could I send you an email personally, and you could send me some contact information where I can get in touch with her?
Yeah, and send a couple of them, because I'm sure they'll get buried, and it might be weeks before I can get back to you, okay?
Well, no problem.
Okay, great.
God bless.
Because, you know, I get 3 weeks every year. That was my deal with the network when I started. But I only take 1 week. I give the other two away. I just don't do it. And next week I'm going on vacation. And Rob Simone, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, George Knapp, Whitley Strieber, everybody's going to help out and do shows for us that week. I'll be back and live on January 1st, New Year's night for you. But I only take 1 week out of the three. So that's it. And then I take a Friday a month off for all the other extra days that I work. I'll be back in a moment. More on our pre-Christmas Eve show on Coast to Coast AM. Well, time for our traditional shout-out, and Merry Christmas to all of you. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening on your favorite radio stations across North America, 564 now, a world record. Thank you so much. Coast Insiders, I'm glad you're part of the club. And also XM Talk 168, then the various chat rooms and groups, Fantastic Forum 2, that's with the number 2, Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, folks, thanks to all of you, National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, the Yahoo chat rooms, those who like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, and the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Merry Christmas to all of you. And thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM.
This is Doug Hagman, the founder and director of the Northeast Intelligence Network, on the internet at HomelandSecurityUS.com. It's been an honor and privilege to be a regular guest on Coast to Coast AM over the last 7 years. On behalf of the staff of the Northeast Intelligence Network, I'd like to join George Norrie, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, and the rest of the crew at Coast to Coast AM in wishing all the listeners a safe and joyous Christmas, a happy Hanukkah, and best wishes for a safe and prosperous new year.
Well, thank you, Doug, so much. And, you know, one of the wonderful things about Coast to Coast that I admire just as being part of it is the variety and the resources that we have available at any given time. Whether we're talking about the supernatural or the paranormal or the unusual or breaking news stories, whether it's a Japanese earthquake or some kind of tragic terrorist event with people like Doug Hagman, it is just marvelous to have this kind of resource available to us whenever we need it. And it just is a wonderful show. And I just can't say enough about our staff. I will a little bit later on tonight before I sign off. They just put in hours and hours and hours of research to make sure we get you the best guests we can and entertain you and inform you and just be there for you whenever we have to. And it's a program that is bucking the trend right now. It is growing by leaps and bounds. And, you know, we're growing in affiliate count, 564. Folks, we are the second largest affiliated program in the country right now. It's no secret, Rush Limbaugh has more stations than anybody, but we're doing pretty darn good. And, you know, when you look behind us, there's hardly anybody there in terms of affiliate count. We're just up there. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the future of what this program is doing and how it develops. You know, as we get into 2012, which is a year I really couldn't even imagine. When I first signed my first contract with this network, and, you know, I was kicking around the idea, okay, how many years, George, do you want to go? And and nobody knew what was going to happen to this program. You know, you know what it was like to have to, you know, come in after Art Bell, the creator, the guy who did this, and one of the best in the world. Nobody knew what was going to happen because we've had a number of hosts before, and things worked, things didn't. And so we kind of tippy-toed into it. But I always thought my goal would be, okay, you know, let me get through 2012, and then, you know, you would have had a good 9-10-year run, and, you know, that'll be it. Perfect. We're here, and I'm still kicking, so I'm going to keep going and going and going. And I'm just fortunate that we've got a great staff and taking care of you on the weekends with live programming. That's another thing about Coast to Coast. I'm going to get to your calls in a second, so I don't have to keep babbling on here. But there aren't any other nationally syndicated shows that I know of that are live 7 nights a week for you. You know, most of them will run some tapes and things like that, but we are live 7 nights a week. It's unbelievable. And it's incredible. All right, to the phones we go. Enough of me. Jonesboro, Tennessee. Adam, first-time caller. Merry Christmas, Adam.
Merry Christmas to you.
You too. Thanks for holding so long, by the way. Appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. I had a question. I'm a Christian, and I'm real interested in science and physics and astronomy and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a theory that would it be possible, you know, there's certain things out there in the universe that if they weren't there, we wouldn't be here. And I was thinking, if God really does exist, if there's a possibility that everything out there in the universe is out there just to support one planet, just to support, you know, life on one planet, you know, for us, would that be possible?
Possible, probably. Probable, no. I think planets like Earth with intelligent life everywhere, Adam. I think it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same soup. And let me ask you this. Is there a God, in your opinion?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, me too. I don't know what God is, honestly. You know, we could look at the religious interpretation, and then if you apply science to it. But what I do believe is that there's some kind of divine intelligence there. There's no doubt mm-hmm. about that. It's too much order. Everything seems to fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think that comes by luck or random at all. But in terms of your question, I think there are millions, if not billions, of Earth-like planets that are most likely inhabited. And I think you believe that too, don't you?
Yeah, there's actually been friends of mine say that there's a possibility that, you know, there could be other planets with other Gardens of Eden where, you know, they didn't eat the apple.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and as now, and thanks for calling, Adam, they're talking about alternative universes and other dimensions. I mean, it's absolutely staggering what's out there. But I do believe there are many Earth-like planets. I believe we've been visited. I think we were seeded, but there is a God. Let's go to Zach in Salisbury, Maryland. Hey, Zach, thanks for calling.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Yeah, I was just calling about, I was listening to Coast to Coast yesterday, and you had a guest on who was talking about radio sort of signals from outer space.
Mm-hmm, we've done that.
And how that was sort of an unexplored sort of field of outer space exploration.
There is an organization, Zach, called SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial, and they're trying to find these signals.
But I was sort of thinking that, I mean, like, I was listening Coast to Coast on my radio, and I was, you know, I was getting all these weird sort of, like the radio would cut out, and it would come in, and I was thinking, you know, maybe that's some sort of signal from out there. Like, I mean, because how can we comprehend sort of the signals that are coming from deep within our galaxy, from places that we, I mean, you have to think that there's people, not people, but I mean, there's sort of.
Well, if they're intelligent, they're people.
Yeah, there has to be some people. Sort of intelligent life out there, right?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it.
And I mean, radio signals are very basic form of sort of communication, and they've got to know about radio communication. And I'm sitting here listening to Coast to Coast, and like my radio is sort of pulsing sort of in waves, and I'm just sitting there thinking about how this has to be some sort of communication from someone or something, or it has to be interference at least from their communications between each other.
They are probably listening to old Coast to Coast shows right now, Zach, going, what the heck are those Earthlings talking about? Let's go to Mike in Livermore, California. Hey, Mike.
Hey, George. How are you?
Sorry that my Lions beat Oakland.
Yeah, well, you know, you had a chance to sit next to me at the game.
What an incredible victory, though.
Oh, God.
You got to be in shock. You've got to be in shock. I mean, for them to come storming back the way they did in that last quarter, one of the most exciting games I've seen in a long time.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. You missed a good one. You got to come out next time they're here. Who knows when that'll be.
Mike, do you know what would happen? Well, first of all, I watched it on TV, so I was able to see it. But do you know what would happen if I was sitting there with you at Oakland and cheering for the Lions? You couldn't even protect me.
Oh, no. I've been sitting in those seats since 95. Believe me, I rule that section.
You may rule it, but you cheer for Oakland. If you had some guy from Detroit pop up and go, yay, Lions, I think you'd lose control of your masses.
Well, see, that's what you don't understand, George. Once you get here to Oakland, you would actually be cheering for my Raiders.
Yeah, out of necessity. I'd have to show up with my goons.
I took a 49er fan to the Cubs to the Bears game just a few weeks ago, and he was just as loud as me on defense.
I mean, that whacked out JC is convinced I have these goons with me anyway, so I might as well bring them.
Yeah, well, no, you're safe. You're safe with me, believe me, in that place. I'm like the ambassador for the Raiders. Whenever I see a fan in another jersey of the opposing team, I go over to them and I welcome them to Oakland and I wish them a good game. And, you know, or if it's after the game and even when we've lost, you know, it's, hey, I hope you enjoyed yourself, you know.
Well, maybe I'd dress up like Robin Williams, like Mrs. Doubtfire. Nobody would know who I was.
There you go, George. Yeah, that would get you there.
Yeah, you know what they'll say? They'll say, you are with you. The ugliest date we've ever seen.
The problem is that they go, oh, they probably also say, what a cute couple.
So what are you doing for Christmas?
I'm working tomorrow, Christmas Eve, but just going to mom's for the usual, see my brother and his kids. And on Christmas Eve and then over to my in-laws for Christmas Day and spend a day over there and get to see all of them and get the my grandson's first Christmas, which
he's only
three months old. So
I've got a little girl. She's gonna have her first one this year. My son's a little girl.
Yeah, and then, well, you got a few more too. So you get to see some open presents. So
my little Gavin, the little 4-year old, he fell out of bed a couple nights ago. He hit his head on his nightstand. And my daughter had to rush him to the hospital, and they put this glue stuff on his head now, I guess, instead of stitches. And he's okay now. He bounced back like a rubber ball, but it's kind of scary. I mean, he's little.
Oh, yeah. Kids. Yeah, no, that's good. I wanted to give my condolences, George. All I can say is I lost my father back in 84. And, so he was young. My kids never met him or anything. And, you know, you got a lot of memories there, and you just have to always remember that he's there. He's in you already, and you've already passed him on to your kids. And I see it in my son. I see my father. And, you know, from what you've talked about him on the air, he sounds like he's just as great as my father ever was.
You know, a few weeks before he died, he was in the hospital for an unrelated situation, and he was there for about 2 days, and the Detroit Free Press did an article on Coast to Coast and me. And because we went back to WXYT radio there, and we're also on CKLW in that market. But they did a story about my return, because that was the very first place I got a job when I was 19 years old. And it was just kind of surreal for me.
Against your father's wishes.
Against my dad's wishes. He wanted me to be a dentist. But he had that article. And Mikey was running up and down the corridors of the hospital telling all these nurses, look, I want you to read this. This is my son. And they go, sure he is. And then he walk him back to his room. But he knew. And you're right. I mean, he's still here with me.
Oh, that's wonderful. Uh-huh. Before I get off, I want to wish Tommy and Lisa and Lex and you and Ian and Gina.
And don't forget Danny, who's running the technical
Danny,
end. Right.
And Danny.
Danny could flip a switch right now and both of us are off.
Oh, and the new guy, Josh.
Oh, yeah. They're everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere. I'm trying to break.
You've got Jason.
I am.
You've got them all. Okay, my friend. Got to run.
All right. Oh, Merry Christmas, George. Happy New Year.
You too, Mike. Let's go to Indiana. Patty, it's your turn. Hi, Patty.
Hi, good morning, George.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good morning to you. How's Indiana today?
Well, we're waiting for snow.
It'll come soon enough.
Okay.
It will. And then once it comes, you'll probably say enough of it already.
I know. Well, each day that we don't have snow is closer to spring.
That's right. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I have a Christmas miracle.
Okay, sure.
My kids, when they were probably the ages of 5 and 3, One morning, we went out to get the newspaper, and lo and behold, there's this basket of presents on our front porch.
Just there. Just sitting there.
Just sitting there. And my husband's like, you know, where'd these come from? And it's like, oh, you're asking me? I don't know. So, you know, we'd ask people, and there was no card, nothing. The next year, the same thing.
Wow.
Okay. And each year it progressed, you know, from the G.I. Joes and the Barbies to popcorn and movies and hot chocolate and cookies.
So as the kids got older and as you folks were there, the presents upgraded. Yeah,
exactly. So we made the kids write letters of thank you to Santa because that's where they were coming from. And we held on to them, you know. And a couple years ago, maybe 5 years or so, our friend said, how did the kids like their presents? And we're like, what? What are you talking about? On the doorstep at Christmas. And we were just totally shocked because we see this couple.
They were the ones?
Several times a year, yes.
They were the ones.
And what she told me was, is every year they pick a family. And as long as they stay living in the address that you're at, they continue to be the Secret Santa. And these are good friends of ours.
Isn't that cool?
They tell the secret very well.
So they would see you like the next day, maybe, and you'd say, somebody just dropped off all these presents.
Exactly.
They didn't throw a smile. That's fantastic.
Didn't. And I tell you what, George, my kids are now, let's see, 22 and 18. And they no longer receive their Christmas presents from Santa. But what they do now is they give on the angel trees.
That's great.
So they're participating. And I have to tell you that I did send Tom an email, and I don't know when or if he'll ever open it up, which is, I'm glad I got a hold of you because my son's 18 years old. He's a senior in high school, and he's an Eagle Scout.
That's great.
And the reason he did his project is because of Coast to Coast.
Oh, really?
Really.
Super.
A while back, you guys, whether it was Laura Moulton Howell, but the decline of the honeybee.
That was Linda. That was
okay.
Right.
Well, recently, he had to pick a project. Are you familiar with how the Boy Scouts?
Oh yeah, I was a Boy Scout.
Great. Okay. Hey, then I've got a Eagle Scout book, project book that you really need to see because you are mentioned in it. The first question is, how did you decide on your project? And he said, you know, I listened to Coast to Coast AM radio with George Norrie, and it said the decline of the honeybee population. And what he did was he built mason bee houses. Are you familiar with a mason bee?
No, I'm not. I'm not a beekeeper, but that sounds like he's pretty darn smart.
You know, and well, you know, he's an 18-year-old kid. You know, he can do anything. He's invincible.
Well, first of all, Patty, you got to thank him for me that we were able to help him contribute to this project. I mean, when I was a Cub Scout, not a Boy Scout, a Cub Scout, I used to do a lot of these different projects. One of my favorites, of course, was the Pinewood Derby. We would get these cars and you'd race them. They were out of wood, and you had to work with your father and make them. I never won. I never would win those, but it was fun anyway. Well, we'll be back in a moment. Patty, thanks for your story. Those of you, some of you have been on hold for about 40 minutes. Don't hang up. I'll get to you when we come right back for another hour of pre-Christmas Eve open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.